Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. No doubt you'd probably already have this scripture memorized. I'd like to read from this verse number 17. And if you have your finger able to go to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. We'll read and then I'll give a report about the country of Wales. And we'll have a word of prayer and we'll be seated. Romans chapter number 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In Luke chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 1, and it says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening at Island Ford Baptist Church. And I thank you, Father, for the privilege and honor to stand behind this pulpit and proclaim your word. I am unworthy. But yet, Father, I thank you for granting me the privilege and the calling that is placed upon my life so many years ago, just to proclaim your loving word. And I do pray, Father, that we that are in this room will feel thy presence. I pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to anoint this message and our lives this night. Help us, Father, to hear from you and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through thy Spirit and through thy word, and help us, Father, to be changed forevermore this night because of hearing your word. So, Father, bless and have your will and way, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before I go into the message, I just want to give just a quick word of testimony of my life and our ministry as well. Many of you may not know exactly who I am. I am Ronald Downey, sent out of Grace Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I have a long history of Madisonville and different churches and ministry, how the Lord has searched me out, as it were, as that lost sheep. Once lost, and then being lost, not lost, but saved, but yet drifting away throughout my teenage years. And moving back to Madisonville, Kentucky in 1988, the Lord drew me back through his servants, through the people of the church, knocking on doors and coming to me, and then also as well relatives praying for me to come back into the church. And the Lord did that and brought me into Grace Baptist Church, just right down the road here. Everyone knows where it is. And the Lord worked upon my life within a year and a half and said, I want you to be a missionary. Amen. I want you to surrender to preach. And I'm thinking, I'm 20 years old. Why would God want me? I know God's word, and I know that I'm saved. And when I say I know God's word, I knew a little bit of it. I'm going to be honest. I knew Romans 12, 1 and 2. I knew it in mind, but not in service. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I was learning in my younger years as a young adult, you may memorize the word of God, but there's a difference in just knowing it by memorization and then in application, living and learning what James said to the church at Jerusalem, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And when we hear the word of God, the holy word of God, as it were, the Holy Spirit of God's word will move upon us and move us to where we are to serve him. And that's what God did in my life 36 years ago in 1989. On September the 24th, I surrendered to the call to preach. I searched the counsel of my pastor at that time, Brother Richardson. I asked him to pray for me. The Lord was dealing with me about certain things. I never would tell him that the Lord has called me to preach. I never did tell him that the Lord has called me to be a missionary to go to the country of Wales. I sought counsel from an aunt and uncle, and I said, the Lord was calling me to do something, but I am terrified in doing it. And I was. But you know what? Once I surrendered to that calling, once I walked down that aisle after my pastor was preaching out of the book of Jonah, of all texts, Sunday night after Sunday night in the month of August and going into the month of September, he was just preaching one message, and he wasn't getting through it, and it's only four little chapters. He was staying where Jonah was in disobedience for a long time. And yet, the Holy Spirit of God said, I want you to go. Amen. Surrender. And I'm glad by faith I surrendered.
Yes, sir.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What do we hear? We hear God speaking through his word and through the spirit of God's word. And I'm so glad that I did surrender. And then a few months later, I did go to Wales and visit the missionary, Brother Rex McPherson. And he was just there just a year or so before I surrendered. And we visited him for 2 weeks in the month of March in 1990, returned home and praying about what school to go to. And lo and behold, on Easter morning, a man from Tabernacle, Brother Knopf Singer, was preaching at Grace Baptist on Easter morning. And God said, I want you to go to Tabernacle. I never heard of Tabernacle, never heard of the school in South Carolina, but yet God says, that's where I want you to go to school. Amen. What I'm saying is once I surrendered unto him, one door was opening right after another, one opportunity after another, a stepping by faith. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and going into 12, the people stepped out by faith. They moved by faith when they were called to do something for the Lord. And they moved because God spoke to them and they heard by faith and responded by faith. I went to Tabernacle and graduated 4 years later, enrolled in school for one more year because as a missionary, I had no place to live. I was living in my car. So I stayed in the dormitory, went to school one more year, started on deputation in 1994 at the end of my fourth year, continued on throughout my fifth year of Bible college. And then by the time 1996 came around, I met up with my wife, and I was so glad. There are so many churches that say, we're not going to take you on as a single missionary. And I understand why, because of all the things that could come about on the mission field with a single man being a minister over there. But yet, God said, this is your woman. This is the one that I've prepared for you.
Amen.
And the Lord allowed me to meet up with Tennille. Tennille, she and I married in 1996. Her mom and dad were on deputation, the Couches, to go to Chile in South America. And we kept on coming into the same mission conferences. And one of the conferences that we were in was in Cleveland, South Carolina. And if any one of you know who my wife is, you know that she's only about this tall. And when we were in one of the meetings, we happened to walk out the door together, but we weren't together. She just happened to be in the same entrance, as it were, in the exit of the chapel. And yet, her father was in the car watching us both walk out the door together. And we wasn't conversating or anything like that. But when Tennille got back to the car, her father says, "I know why the Lord has made you so short." And lo and behold, just in the few months, the Lord brought us together, and we've been together ever since. In fact, this month, we'll be married 29 years. After we married in October of 1996, 8 months later, we were on the mission field. All those churches that I had visited as a single missionary, when I say all of them, I wish all of them would have, but a great deal of them did take me on for support at that time, took us on for support during that time. And we went to the field on June the 23rd, 1997, and have been there ever since, doing the work on the island of Great Britain, just a small little country of Wales, a place that has almost more church buildings than castles. They have 300 castles in the land of Wales just itself, knowing that all of Great Britain consists of multiple castles, some that are in ruins, some that are very livable to live in. But yet God has not called us to go to a castle. God has called us to go to those ministries that are dying, that are failing in the work of the ministry themselves, not just because of disobedience, and sometimes it is, but it's just the lack of the effort of pushing forward and living by faith and getting out to their own community and getting people saved and coming to the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My wife and I have been blessed with three children over the years, all born in the country of Wales. Our daughter was born in South Wales, Brianna. She is now married. She's 26 years old, and she married an Englishman. And she and her husband are living in the community of Sheffield. And she is working as a registered dietitian in the hospital, children's hospital there, where children that are in need of not just medical attention, but dietary attention to their illnesses that they carry. And then my son-in-law is a journalist in that community. And then I have two sons. One is Yeston, my eldest son. He is 23 years old and doing quite well in his life, living still with us. And then I have another son, Ian. He'll be 21 this month, and he is doing quite well, living at home as well. And the Lord is blessing him with his future hope, I pray, in electrician work. He wants to be a certified electrician in the days to come. And all three children are remaining in the United Kingdom as their adults and having their lives there, which is a great benefit to myself and to my wife. The Lord has allowed them to just really graft into that country, obviously because they were born there. And I thank you for your prayers for them over the years, knowing that you've read the prayer letters about their lives and our ministry. Over the last 28 years, my wife and I have been in five different works, two in South Wales, two in North Wales, and one in particular in Mid Wales. Over the last 17 years, we've been in a community called Rhaeadr. Rhaeadr is a Welsh word, and the country of Wales do speak two languages, but it's not necessary for myself or my wife to learn the language of Welsh. Everyone in the country of Wales knows English. There may be some generations of people that on the further west of the country of Wales that you can get, those communities will be predominantly Welsh speaking, and as well to the north. And those are areas that they really want to remain as much Welsh as possible in those communities. But where we have lived, we've not had the need to learn the Welsh language, so we've just done everything in English. And we can say some Welsh words and Welsh phrases, but not necessarily read them like we're reading a book and do all that. But I can come up with some Welsh words. I won't do it now, and just in case some other Welsh person is listening to WSOF on the radio. But yeah, and that could by chance, because I do listen to, well, I'm in the UK. I'm not listening to the immediate program. I'm listening to, well, when it's midnight hours here. But yet, I'm able to listen to it. But nonetheless, they do speak another language. Our community is called Rhaeadr. It is a Welsh word meaning waterfall. And in our community, it goes back to 1200 AD. And it was an area that is a market town today, but back in the day, it was a sleeping place for the monks that would travel from abbey to abbey, the Catholic monks that would go back and forth from 1400, 1500, and so until 1500, when King Edward VIII had all the monasteries and all the convents and all that dismantled and destroyed, and he just basically raided their coffers and brought it into his own purse, as it were. But yet, this was a place where these monks would travel from one place to the other, and because we had a waterfall or a source of water, they would camp there to go to the next abbey, and then so on. Over the years, that has been removed, the waterfall has, and they built a bridge over it to go into another community through horse and buggy, or now through automobiles, and that area is called Cwm Dyddr. Now, how close is Cwm Dyddr to Rhaeadr? One house. As you look at this page on the Bible, here's Rhaeadr on this side, here's Cwm Dyddr, and there's the river. And it is that close. It is smaller in land, as it were, to the area, or a housing, as it were, to Rhaeadr, but yet it's all combined. But if you're in Rhaeadr, and the people that live in Cwm Dyddr, we're Cwm Dyddr. So even within a step over, we're here. It's almost like you saying, well, I'm in Kentucky, but yet you step over into Illinois.
Yeah.
Or you step off into West Virginia or whatever. But yet, this is our little community. It is a farming community. They farm sheep. That is their industry, that is their lifestyle within our community. We also have shops and other things within our community. We have a butcher, we have a florist, we have post office. Our community is almost like going back into the days of Mayberry, where it's just nice and small and tidy, and everyone's related to everybody. And there may be distant cousins, or they may be exes, but yet very, very good friends, or whatever it may be. But Tennille and I, when we first moved there in 2008, we were very careful on how we spoke to people and what we said because of the close-knit of that community. But over the years, we've gotten to know who's who and how they're related, and everything is fine. So it kept the gossip from being so high, as it were. But yet, it is a place that God led us to. They have two chapels in this area. One is called Bethel Baptist Chapel. I am using the word chapel specifically because in our community, especially in Mid Wales, all the churches that are considered nonconformist, and nonconformist means you're not conformed to the teachings of the Church of England.
Right.
And in our community, the Church of England is referred to as the Church in Wales. But it's the same heretical type teaching. It's false teaching.
Right.
But yet, we have two of those in our community, one in Rhaeadr and one in Cwm Dyddr. And it's only a step across. But we have two Baptist chapels in our community. We have a Presbyterian chapel, and we have a URC church chapel. And that used to be a congregational ministry itself. And that goes all the way back to almost 1200 itself. And I don't know if you know of any missionaries of the 1800s or if you've ever read of missionaries of the past and missionaries that are martyrs. There was a missionary sent out of Wales and sent out specifically a raider out of the Congregational Church ministry named Robert Germain Thomas. And he was sent out through the Congregational ministry to China and then to the country that was known as just Korea in the late 1870s. And sadly, over the years, he was eventually martyred for his faith. And we still have people from Korea, specifically South Korea, that come on a pilgrimage to come to his birthplace in Raeder. And the reason that they come is because they got saved through the teachings that were in the Bible. For when he was martyred on the shores, on the when it's almost like the Ecuador missionaries that went to Ecuador, brother. Germain Thomas, he had his Bible, and they took the Bible, those that had killed him, and stripped it. But they used it as wallpaper. And they put the Bible on there inadvertently, not knowing what the language was. And they looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and got saved. Amen. What they do? They was reading the Word of God in their language eventually. And they come to faith in Christ. And many ministries were started even though their ancestry had killed the missionary. So we have, even in Wales, we have godly people of the days gone by that had left Wales, that had gone and preached the gospel. And the land of Wales is a land of revivals. Many people have been in the revival times of the 1858, 1859 Welsh Revival of Hal Harris and many others. In 1904, which is very commonly known of in our time frame, of the Welsh Revival of that day through Evans Roberts of South Wales, just north of Swansea. And they still have pilgrimages of people coming to that. And I understand the pilgrimages and all that. They just wanted to go and visit. But, you know, revival comes within the Word of God.
Amen.
It comes within our hearts. And when we come to, not just in faith, but when we exercise that faith in prayer and working out that salvation that's within us and growing in the Lord. And that one, I'm not saying the revival was not biblical or nothing like that. What I'm saying is it took place then, but what is being done today?
Right.
Amen. It's always good to know of the days gone by. And we read of the revivals in the Old Testament from one king after another or from one prophet after another. And yet we can't live upon those revivals. We can learn from them.
Right.
And learn what they've done, but we need to allow God to stir our hearts and say, give a revival me, Lord. Revive me that I may be of help to someone else. And in the prayers of Evans Roberts and all those other ladies that were part of that ministry, it wasn't just the men preaching. It was the ladies testifying as it was done tonight. And the prayers of those individuals of that day, they prayed specifically. They prayed by faith. They asked specific statements within their prayers and not generalizing, Lord, just save people.
Right.
Well, the Lord's going to save people, but who do you want saved?
Right.
Who is it that is upon your heart? Is it your child? Well, what's their name? Lord, save my children. Okay. I know the Lord knows your children's names. But does the Lord hear you say the name?
Amen.
Does the Lord say, oh, I heard you say their name.
Right.
And I'm going to work a miracle within that prayer.
Amen.
I'm going to do something about it. Because you're praying in faith.
Amen.
And God sees it.
Yes.
And God hears the prayers of our high priest.
Yes.
Because when we pray through the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
And that prayer ascends up into our high priest, Jesus Christ,
right,
who's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding and making intercession for us on our behalf, giving that request to the Father,
right,
and he's waiting for the Father's answer.
Yep.
And the Father says, grant it.
Amen.
Give it. Allow that soul to be drawn, and they come to confession. Amen. They come to repentance. They come to belief in the Savior. And that's our goal. That's what we're doing in the country of Wells. I'd love to have another revival. But you know where revival starts? In our hearts. Individually. Individually. And then that fire within us spreads to another one. Have you ever had a bush fire? Huh? You really can't control it when the wind is blowing. And it blows this way and blows that way, and you pray it doesn't rain. Unless you need it to rain to douse out the fire. But that's the whole purpose of the revival. To start a flame in us. And to get it to someone else on behalf of someone else. For revival is not just for you. It's for someone else to be saved as well. Amen. And someone else to be touched by the presence of God. Yes. We say by the hand of God. Right. And so what we've been doing for the last 17 years is working in a chapel called Bethania Baptist Chapel. Once again, Bethania is a Welsh word. It means Bethany. Bethany Baptist Chapel started in the 1860s as a Welsh-speaking congregation. And in 1895, they went into the English speaking of their preaching and singing. And due to this fact, there are so many English moving into Wales. There are Englishmen from Birmingham moving into Rhaeadr and into Cymdeithr to build reservoirs. And basically what they were doing, they were buying up all the farmland to create reservoirs, and they created five different reservoirs within a span of 10 miles. And that water supplies all the needs of the city of Birmingham, England, which is 90 miles away. And so this chapel had all these tenant workers, as it were, mason workers doing all the rock formation and the felling of the trees. So they had forestry people and all sorts of other people coming in, and they were loving God and worshiping God in Bethania Baptist Chapel. Over the years, the congregation declines. And when I became pastor, there was four ladies still left in the church, praying that someone would help them. And what they would normally have, and what has been the tradition for the last 20 or 30 years, is circuit riding preachers. When I say circuit riding preachers, there'll be a lay preacher. There may be some lay preachers in here. Well, you go off to a congregation that has no pastor, and you don't intend to pastor them, but you receive the invitation to give them a message. Amen. And there's nothing seriously wrong with that, but if that's all the church wants, that's where it becomes a problem. Yes. Because they become their own ministry without a shepherd. Right. They become sheep wandering about, even though they're in the same congregation, without guidance. Yes. Without someone to provide for them the word of God, knowing that that shepherd knows the flock and knows where they are in need of being chastised, sheared, as we would say, or if they need anointment because of their scars of this life, where they need to receive rest and all sorts of things. And I don't have the time to go through Psalm 23 for y'all. You have a shepherd to do that for you. But what I'm saying is, a lot of those churches long ago, long before I went to Wales in 1997, were living in that way in the church or chapel ministries for so long. And they're dying away. They're dying away because they're not replacing themselves. Do you know what the first, the main objective of sheep is? Reproduce. You get the tups. You get the male sheep, and you get them with a ewe, and you understand science, you understand biology and all that. What they are needing is to reproduce and to have more of a flock. Amen. That way they may receive more finances and more income within that. It's the same within the chapel ministry and the church ministry. We are to reproduce ourselves. And how do we reproduce ourselves? Well, yes, we have families that have children. I understand all that. But that goes beyond that. You're to go out in the desert places. You're out to go out in the hedges, in the byways, and say, I compel you to come. I want you to come in so you can be saved, so you can hear the gospel being preached, that you may come to faith in Christ and have hope and peace within your heart for when eternity comes within your last days. And everybody's going to have an eternity by them.
Yep.
It's either eternal heaven or eternal hell.
Yep. Right.
And they need to know.
Yes.
That's what we've been doing now for the last 17 years in Rayader. Yes, at Bethania Baptist Chapel. And we've seen some highs and lows. We've seen some people be against us. We've seen some people applauding and praising us. And some people really enthralled with what we're trying to accomplish together. And I've really had to catch myself in the ministry in Wells. I don't want to Americanize them.
Right.
I want them to retain their Welshness or their Britishness.
Yes.
If they sing the song slowly, let them sing it slowly. And I've got a book back there, and you read out the songs, it goes slow. I've had to catch my breath a couple of times. Everyone sings so fast here. When my pastor came to visit us in 2011, we were singing so slow, and he said, man, drawing the songs out. But yet, when I came to visit, he understood why I wasn't singing fast. But yet, they have their own way of ministry. They still have the Word of God. They know about Christ. They know about God. But they need a shepherd. And they need the loving care of a shepherd. I've noticed over my life, yes, I'm a preacher. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a preacher. I'm a missionary to people like you over there. But when I'm there, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. And I'm doing all that work because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ says, I send you. John chapter number 17, even so I send you. As I've been sent into the world, even so I have sent you.
Amen.
And I know that the Holy Spirit has just not sent me and left me alone. He's gone with me.
Amen.
He has used me, and he's taught me a thing or two. Have I made mistakes? Yes, I have. Have you made mistakes in your ministry? Yes, you have.
Yes.
But we learn from them,
amen,
and we grow from them, and we try to attempt not to do it all over again. But yet, those people need loving,
amen,
and we've done our best to love them. In our text, real quickly, Luke chapter number 7, as well in Matthew chapter number 8, and you do not need to turn to Matthew chapter number 8, but yet the message that I want to bring is faith like you've never seen.
Amen.
Does Christ see within us faith?
Amen.
That moves him to say, I will grant unto you your prayer.
Amen.
I will grant unto you because of what you have asked of me and what I have seen in you. We all to live by faith.
Sure.
All of our works is done by faith.
Right.
Not to retain salvation, but we do good works because of our salvation.
Amen.
And we are planting the Word of God into other people's hearts, into our own families, into our own selves, that we may grow by the Word of God and grow in faith and grow in maturity. But yet we have here an illustration that Luke no doubt has heard of, and the Holy Spirit is allowing him to have it rehearsed into his life. And Luke is sharing it with, as you know, of chapter number 1. The whole book of Luke is written to one specific person, O Theophilus, a man that has everything, so to speak, but yet he needed to know about Christ. He wanted to know about Christ in all of his ministry. And Luke, hears about this account after Christ had preached the Beatitudes or the Sermon of the Mount. And that's what is being referred to in chapter number 7. And when he had ended all these sayings, what were those sayings? Well, we have a portion of the Beatitudes right here in Luke chapter number 6. It's a portion of it. Matthew has 3 or 4 chapters of it. And yes, we know that Matthew was an eyewitness to all these facts and those messages. And once again, the Holy Spirit allowed him to retain that information and write it into his gospel. But yet we have this account given by Luke. And he says that Jesus, when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered in Capernaum. And there was a certain centurion servant. Now, there's two people that's made reference here in verse number 2. A centurion and a servant of the centurion. Now, a centurion is a captain of a Roman army. He is a captain over 100 people. 100 soldiers, if you please. And he is under authority of someone else, under the general of the Romans. And yet, but he has his own servants, and he probably had multiple servants, but this one particular servant is sick, and sick nigh unto death. And in the book of Matthew, it speaks about him being sick of the palsy, a sickness that is grievous in pain and torture, no doubt, within his own body. And he's lying at the point of death, and he hears of Jesus. How does he hear of Jesus? Well, he hears of the message that had, no doubt, many multitude of people had left that mountain and gone back into their homes. And no doubt they were talking and discussing, wow, what did we just hear? Right. Such as your testimony, love, of your pastor. You go back home and what you're doing is meditating on what was said. And no doubt this centurion is overhearing the conversations of the multitudes that have heard. And they're meditating out loud. And they're saying, wow, he said this. And oh, by the way, he said that. And it's the word of God.
Amen.
What was the centurion hearing on what we'd call second hash sermons? The word of God.
Right.
And who is moved by faith.
Amen.
To do what? The Bible says the servant was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. Now this centurion, possibly of his position in society, thinking that, well, I'm a captain and I'm a centurion officer. Maybe Jesus won't listen to me because I'm a Roman. So he sends the elders of the Jews, we would say those that were in the chief places of the synagogue or in the temple, as it were. For this man, being a Roman centurion, he loved the people of Jews because it is written of it that he loved them.
Right.
And no doubt he protected them.
Yep.
And provided for them protection, even though they're in occupation by the Roman government. But yet he says, I'm sending unto them the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. So even these Jewish men that had gone, they speak to Jesus. They inquire of Jesus and they say, he is worthy. He's a good man. He's a just man. And he sent us to ask of you, will you come? Will you come and heal? Will you, by faith, heal this man? The Bible says as well, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, Trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into the roof. Imagine this, the humility of this man. He sees himself as unworthy. And by the way, we could learn some things from this centurion.
Yes, sir.
Not having a haughty spirit.
Yep.
Not having a prideful spirit. Not saying, well, I've been a part of this ministry for so long, and Lord, I want you, I need you, I command you.
No.
That we shouldn't be doing any of that.
No.
It's only by the grace of God that you are here.
Amen.
And it's only by the grace of God someone, as the centurion, had come and prayed for you. To be healed of your sickness. And there's no greater sickness than sin itself. Sin. It takes your life.
Yes.
In so many ways. And yet, this man, he goes. He sends more servants from the house. And he says, I'm not worthy of you coming into my house. If he had only known the presence and the peace of Christ that can come into one in the home.
Amen.
In the home. How many times have we, and society says, well, I don't want your religion. I don't want your faith. I don't want what you want to give me. And they are living in hardship. They're living in what we would refer to as a living hell.
Yeah.
And I know a great deal about that. Growing up in a broken home, growing up with a father that didn't go to church, growing up in a way that it's only by the grace of God I'm standing here tonight.
Amen.
But yet this man sees that he's unworthy for even the presence of Jesus Christ physically being in his home. I'm unworthy. I am unworthy. Bible says, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but just say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, this is where I want to get to the point of the message is, where did the servant, where did this centurion understand if Jesus would just say but a word? Where did he hear that? No doubt the Gospels weren't written. They wasn't there for him to read upon and go back in time, as it were, and think about everything that was said and done by the Lord Jesus Christ. But where did he hear it from? Other people.
Right.
He heard it from other people.
Yep.
He heard it from people that said, oh my, did you hear that leper? That leper got saved.
Amen.
Or got healed of his sicknesses.
Yep.
The nine lepers that got the ten lepers that got saved, and blind Bartimaeus, he got his eyes back. Jairus' daughter and so many other people were healed and raised from the dead.
Yes.
Lazarus came back to life.
Yes.
And is all through a word.
Amen.
Do you know the word of God can bring life?
Amen.
It can bring healing.
Yes.
Spiritual healing.
Yes.
It may not give you physical healing that you so much desire. And that's what most people think of. I just want to be healed so I can serve the Lord better. You might get healed, but who can guarantee that you'll serve the Lord better?
Right.
Just because you were healed.
Yep.
How many people have drifted away after you got what you wanted?
Yep. Come on.
Yes. It's only by the grace of God.
Amen.
But this man, he learned of the words of Christ. Yeah. Through other people. How many times has people talked to you about the Word of God?
Yep.
How many times have they shared to you what God has done in their life because they read it from God's Word themselves?
Amen.
How many times have you heard that they come to faith because of someone else's witnessing, someone else's praying over them, someone else doing something for them that led them to faith in Christ? This is what this centurion was hearing. He learned that Jesus Christ only needed to speak a word.
Amen.
Speak a word. I'm thinking Christ may have to say two words, possibly, be healed. But yet in the Greek, it may be one word. But yet, this man, the centurion, He allowed faith to work within him.
Amen.
I believe he come to faith.
Yes.
I believe those that are around him witnessed to him, told him the things about the Lord, the parables, the miracles, all sorts of things that could come about within the life of this centurion. But this centurion had a burden. This centurion had a burden for a servant. Just one servant. Knowing that he probably had hundreds of servants under him. He had 100 men. But yet he had a concern. Now I want us to flip this in a way of, what about you being that centurion? What about you? Do you have faith as this centurion man? Do you have faith in what God is doing,
right,
has done, and will do in the future? You know, you see this man, and we need to, in a way, compare ourselves with this centurion. Do we love others that are under us, that we have authority over? Do we love them?
Amen.
We have children that we're over of. We ask in prayer, I pray, their name.
Right.
Lord, please save that.
Amen.
Save, well, my children, Brianna. Save Brianna. Save Yeston. Save Ian. Save my nieces and nephews, and I won't say their names all over the air. But yet, you know, understand, this man says, my servant. Now I understand this servant's name is unknown. But yet, he had a concern for just one.
Amen.
It goes back to that 90 and 9.
Yep.
Do you realize, Christ, he goes for the one that's missing out of the flock?
Yep.
But you realize that he doesn't do it physically? He does it through you and I.
Right.
He does it through us. He sends us. He told us to go out and to be witnesses,
right,
unto Jerusalem, unto Judea, unto the uttermost parts of the world. Go into Samaria,
yep,
and bring them in.
Amen.
You shall be witnesses, and I will be with you. All power is given unto you to be witnesses. And he is with us doing that work on our on his behalf within us. And we must give ourselves over to that.
Amen.
We must surrender. We must be that servant and allow him to do that within our lives. He had faith in the words of Jesus, but say a word. He had faith in what it would only take Jesus to say, be healed. Be healed.
Amen.
You know, Jesus says, I want to come.
Yeah.
I want to come. He said that to those leaders, the Jewish leaders, the elders. I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. I'll take the time.
Yep.
Do you know Jesus Christ wants to make the effort himself?
Amen.
He will. Yes, he's in Capernaum. Did he not say in John chapter number 4, I must needs,
yep,
go through Samaria?
Yep.
I have an appointment to be at the well.
Right.
I need to be there. Why? Because there's a woman that's there that I'm going to bring to salvation. But what's that woman going to do? Bring the whole place to salvation.
Yes, sir.
You know, the Lord has saved us to use us, but you know how he saved us? By someone else coming to us.
That's right.
And then we go to someone else.
Yep.
And we be that witness unto others.
Right.
That they may know of him.
Amen.
And he uses us. Why did that centurion go? Well, no doubt the Lord laid upon in his heart. And no doubt he knew that he was coming. He knew that he was going to send his servants, and he was going to send the servants out of his house, and he went there to meet them. And the Bible says, the centurion said, but just say a word. Just say a word. Do you know the word of God is the word?
Sure.
Amen.
It's the living word.
Yep.
It brings health and healing.
Amen.
And it's all done by faith. Faith. We don't exercise faith as much anymore, do we? We don't. Do we really believe in faith?
Right.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How much faith does it take for God to move? Bible says, as a grain of a mustard seed. If you just have a faith as small as a grain of a mustard seed, it would move mountains.
Yes, sir.
but yet faith. He had faith in the works of Christ. He, what he had heard and maybe not even seen, he had faith in that. In verse number 7 and 10, wherefore neither thought I myself to be worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. In verse number 10, and they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. That was the work of the Lord. How was he healed? By God's word touching him.
Amen.
It doesn't say that Jesus physically touched him or that servant touched Christ.
Yep.
It was the word of God.
Amen.
You know, it's the word of God that transforms us.
Yep.
By reading it and taking it in and allowing it to be a meditation within our lives, that our lives are changed for his use. Faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus heard these words. In verse number 9, Jesus heard these things. He marveled at him. And that's where I bring the thought to us all. Does Jesus Christ marvel in wonderment about what we're doing?
Right.
And it's not much what he did, as much as he acted upon of what he knew.
Yes.
Okay? The centurion felt unworthy to do anything.
Yep.
He sent people and sent people and sent people. But you know, he sent them. Now, you may not be able to think that, well, I can't do this myself. And many times you have asked someone else to do it, especially the pastor. Go visit my relative, please, and I'll pray for you. Will you go witness to them? And time again in Wales, I have been sent to the hospitals. I've been sent to the homes of the bereaved. I have been sent on their behalf because, in a way, they believed that I would give them the word, that I would give them the request. And what is the centurion doing? He's going to, in one way or another, to the Lord in prayer. And we've given those prayer requests today. Tonight. Pray for this. Pray for that. Pray for my family to be healed. Sickness is healed. Automobiles to be repaired. Whatever it may have been. There's so many things. We can go from yonder to yonder in our prayer requests. But are we specific?
Amen.
Are we allowing Christ to do that work? As well in wonderment of our faith in just even asking him.
Amen.
You know, a lot of things are not done because we ask not. We ask not.
Yep.
And so Christ does not.
Right.
But a lot of times we ask amiss for our own lust, for our own covetousness,
yep,
for our own praise. Look what I did. I led that man to the Lord. No, that's prideful.
Right.
Only by the grace of God have we led anyone to Christ.
Right. Amen.
Be grateful that we were that one as a shepherd going out into the fields to bring one in.
Amen.
Be even grateful that he's even asked you to do it and commanded us to do it. No wonder Jesus marveled at this man that had authority, and he was able to do this and say and do this and say, and they do it. He in my life, I want him to marvel.
Amen.
Because of my submissiveness of knowing what he can do, and what I know he can do, I only gained from the word of God.
Right.
In knowledge, but not just knowledge, I put it into work. I put it into effect by faith.
Amen.
Lord, you said if I prayed, if I would do this, if I would go and witness, if I would go do this because of your commands, they will come to faith in Christ.
Amen.
And time again, it has happened.
Yes.
But you know, many times I failed and I think, Lord, why does that not happen? and he convicts me and he chastises me. I told you to do it, but you said, no, maybe tomorrow. Many times I've said tomorrow. I've got this task and I've got that task. But the Holy Spirit of God says, move.
Amen.
The Bible says, and when he had ended all these sayings, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion who was dear unto him was sick unto die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent. He sent. When do we hear? When we hear of a need, do we act upon it immediately?
Amen.
As best as that we can. And I know at times we're under constraint of time. We might already be obligated to be doing one thing. I understand all that. But you know what you can do immediately? Pray.
Amen.
You can pray at any moment.
Yes.
You don't have to pray audibly. You can pray through your own spirit. And the Lord hears every prayer.
Amen.
And the Lord responds to every prayer.
Yes.
And the Lord will work it out according to his will. But we have to do it. We have to do it by faith.
Amen.
When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about him and said unto him, unto the people, and said, I unto you, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. And I know in the other book of Matthew, it speaks about how the Gentiles and how they come to faith on the east and the west and the south. But yet Israel itself, right in the center, does not come to faith. In fact, the Bible says they are in eternal damnation because of the lack of faith. I want that faith exercised in my life.
Amen.
Why? Because I've seen the results. I've seen the results. I've seen people come to faith in Christ.
Amen.
I've seen people healed.
Yep.
I've seen people have their lives dramatically changed.
Yes.
And it's all because of faith.
Yes.
Faith in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where's your faith today? Where is it? Is it seen of Christ? Is it seen, and would he say on that last day that you stand before him at the Bema seat, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I marveled at what you've done. I marvel at what you've done in the time that I've given you on earth. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And I've only been in Wales 28 years. I hope I'm still young enough to have another 30 years.
Amen.
Of active ministry. I hope your pastor has another 100 years. But yet, I'm giving you more than me. What I'm saying is, are you acting upon your faith? We have an illustration of this centurion and Christ seeing it. And the Bible says they found the servant whole. They found him whole that had been sick. What are we finding? Are we finding the effects of God's blessings upon our lives? Are we seeing the results of our prayers? Are we seeing the results of our faith in action? All because we exercised it and said, Lord, this is what I would like. And I'm praying in faith. I'm praying knowing that you are able, even with one word, to accomplish my desire.
Amen.
Whatever it may be. And it may not be for a loved one that's sick or in need of salvation. It might be for the need that you have heard of for someone else, and you're praying on their behalf. But search your heart. Do you believe that Christ would say unto you, I marvel. I'm astounded. I'm pleased.
Yep.
With what has transpired within that faith in action. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the illustrations that we can learn upon and even apply into our own lives. We thank you, Father, for faith administered into our life by belief. and repenting of our sins and coming to in faith unto you. And I ask you, Father, that you continue to work within our lives, work in the ministry here. And Father, I do pray that they may see the faith answered, as it were, in their prayers, their requests. And may your Spirit even speak unto them, I am pleased. I marvel at what you're doing and how you're conducting yourself on behalf of others in getting them sick or saved and healed from their own sicknesses. So, Father, I pray that you bless this ministry. I thank you, Father, for their many, many years of support of ours. And I do pray that they may have many years of fruitful ministry and they may see souls being saved. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor, will you come?